Last week we read about how those following Jesus shared life as a community. We read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread, as we're going to do this morning, and to prayer. And today we learn that God often has much more for us than what we've anticipated. God is indeed a gracious God, generous. And so we pick up the story in today's text. And so if you haven't yet opened your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me into that passage in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. We're going to explore these ancient words and see what they have for us today. So we find ourselves in Jerusalem. Peter and John are here, and they're on their way to the temple, and they run into someone who was about to get more than he bargained for. Are any of us still following hockey? Not really. I hear some knowing snickers. Some of us have already moved on to the baseball season. Go Jays, maybe? Did you know that there are hockey playoffs right now, actually? Really, there are. And so for some of us who do follow hockey, I'm glad you're cheering our teams on, but I've moved on. However, I do care about our next season as a Canucks fan, right? And how many of you know that the Canucks have just signed a new player? Yeah? Okay, some of us do. Right on. Who is that? Thatcher Demko, right. One of our draft picks from Boston College from a couple years ago. In fact, he was our second-round draft pick, and the Canucks are banking on this guy. And he was a finalist for the best college player. He didn't quite win it, but he was one of the finalists, so he's in a great, great class. And the Canucks are hoping that they got more than they bargained for. However, when one considers a player such as Alex Burrows, one of Vancouver Canucks' most exciting players to watch, the Canucks certainly got more than they bargained for. Burrows was not even drafted, right? He had to work his way up. And then he caught the notice of the staff, especially the coach, and then they finally wrote him a contract. They then got more than they bargained for. And something like that happened to the man who was sitting by the beautiful gate at the temple in verse 2. In the Middle East, it's the custom for beggars to sit at the entrance to a temple or a shrine, not so different from the panhandlers who sit in front of the SkyTrain stations here in Vancouver, especially before a Vancouver Canucks game or a BC Lions game, right? Or even a Whitecaps game. They'll be there because they know that some people are in a good mood. They want to go in and they've brought extra money for food, and perhaps they'll share some of that money with them on their way in. Such a place was considered the best of all places in the temple, because when people are on their way to worship, they're often more open to being generous to others. Certainly the people who went into the temple by that gate day after day and week after week would not have been surprised to see this disabled man. His friends brought him there every day, as we read in the scriptures. He would beg what he could, and at night they would take him back home. Now that is a really great group of friends. Just like we have friends here who help us put on worship and who help lead the service and who will help serve the communion, and who opens the doors and who helps welcomes people in. We work as a community, and this group of friends were working as a community for this disabled man. So what he asked Peter and John was what he asked everybody. Hey, do you have a couple dollars? Do you have something that you can share with me? Have pity on me. Hey, look at me. Anyone have spare change? So, of course, he got far more than he bargained for. Peter's response is all the more interesting in view of what we read last week, right? Take a look with me in verse 4. Money had stopped being the most important thing for them. There was a new power, a new kind of life, which they had all discovered. So what Peter said in verse 6 was the natural response. Sorry, I don't have any money, but I have something much more incredible, much better, something of a different order entirely for you. He didn't even ask the lame man if he would like to be healed. He just went ahead and healed him. In the name of Jesus. Take a look at verse 4 again. Peter and John looked very intently into the eyes of the man who was begging. What exactly were they looking for? Were they looking for sincerity in the guy's face? Or maybe an expectancy, or a deep need and desire for healing? What were they looking for? There seems to be something very important about that deep face-to-face contact that is mentioned here in this passage, unlike what iPods and iPads can give us today. Not only did Peter and John stare at the man, but they told him to look back at them as well. Hey, look hard into my face. Look into my eyes. I really want you to hear and see what I have for you. Don't turn away in embarrassment, Peter was basically saying. We might notice that as we encounter people who are panhandling on our way to work or on our way into the mall or on our way into a sporting event. Right? Oftentimes they are ashamed to catch our eye, and just as often we are equally ashamed to look back at them. But there's something about recognizing another person's humanity in just a look or that smile or a nod of acknowledgement in that interaction. Pay attention here in verse 6, because what is about to happen is something that involves a very deep human contact, as well as a deep work of God. It's nothing magical, really. The healing that is about to happen is visible evidence of the presence of the Jesus following community's Lord and Savior. It's just declaring that Jesus is the power. What Peter says will resonate through the next chapters as we continue to read in Acts and on into the wider story which Luke is telling in Acts. Peter doesn't just say, stand up and walk, as Jesus did with many of the people who he healed, right? Jesus himself would probably have said these things, but Peter doesn't say that. He makes it quite clear where the healing power resides. In the name of the Messiah or the Anointed One, the Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Peter says, get up and walk. It is the power of the name of Jesus that counts here and everywhere. The idea of names having power is strange to those of us who live in modern Western world, but I got a slight taste of it last week. You see, you know that I've been struggling with my back, with back problems, ever since I've been here. But wrestling with the youth so many years ago seemed to exacerbate it. Wrestling most recently with my daughter, Sarah, now that she's a strong dancer, I didn't take account for her strength in her legs. She put me in these scissor holds, right, and tweak, and I couldn't move. And, you know, she checked to make sure I was okay. Dad, are you all right? I'm like, yeah, but I got to stop. And then she ran upstairs, told everyone, hey, guess what? I beat Dad. It's pretty funny. She sure did. I think I've hung up my wrestling boots for now. But just this past spring break, my brother and sister-in-law came and visited us for a week, and I was hobbling. I could barely move when they arrived. And my sister-in-law is an oncologist in Calgary, and she asked if she could see my CT scan. And so she knew I told the story about what was going on with me. And she said, you know, one of my good friends here in Vancouver is a gynecologist. I said, you know, I don't need to see one of those. And she said, well, my friend's brother is actually a very well-known spine neurologist here in Vancouver as well. So the siblings are doctors, and the brother is a spine neurologist. So she passed my CT scan on to him. And this past Wednesday, he gave me a phone call at home late at night, and I was not expecting that at all. The power of my sister-in-law's name moved mountains for me. And there's power in a name, and this is what that lame man found out as he discovered who Jesus was. In verse 7, the power of Jesus' name moved bones and sinew in this beggar's legs. In the name of Jesus, he was healed. Names carry power. There is power of magic, indeed. There is the invocation of hidden forces, the summoning of action beyond normal human abilities, but that's not what this is here. From this point on, now only the name of Jesus carries that kind of power. Mention his name and new things will happen. This is as true now as it has ever been. In verse 8, the power in Jesus' name turned a disabled man who sat outside the temple into a worshiper who was actually go all the way in. He was now able to actually enter into the temple courts and not be carried in. Can you imagine? If he was a Jew, he'd go all the way in into the temple, into the court of men, where he could finally give a sacrifice and say, Lord, I am so happy. And no wonder he's jumping up and praising God. And he went all the way in. Now that's something to ponder. Miracles of healing aren't very common these days, the way that we read it here in Acts. But during the birth of the early church, they were a little bit more frequent. All true healing is, of course, from God, whether directly through the ministry of prayer, as we saw here, or through medicine, or maybe even the combination of the two. It is all in the power of God. The church should not shy away from the command of the Lord to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. In Luke chapter 9, we see that here. Jesus commands the 70, wherever you enter a town, cure the sick. That's found in Luke 10. This is just what the missionaries in the book of Acts are doing here. They're going in obedience, and wherever they meet people who are sick, they say, in the name of Jesus, may you be healed. Now, the thing with miracles is that things really haven't changed since Jesus' time. Some people might think that unless the cure is total and spectacular, it's not of God or worth doing. The reality is nothing could be farther from the truth. Although people may not be totally restored to physical health, God is still at work, and I'm a living testament to that. People like me, you know, we might still be helped even though my back isn't 100%, and I wish it was, but we can still be healed spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and that healing is indeed going on and taking place, and it is a miracle of God. And someday, I hope and I pray that my back will be restored too, but there's so many other parts of me that are being restored and being healed, and I'm so thankful for the work that God is doing through you and through medicine and through my counselor. This is all a work of God. Thanks be to God. So all prayers of healing are answered. Some just may be more dramatic or complete than others. Regardless, all of this healing, as I said before, brings glory to the Lord, who is the Lord of all healing. And it's all worth undertaking. This points us to something else that's going on here. Up until now, Acts, this whole story has taken place in Jerusalem, right? All the action so far has been in the city of Jerusalem, but not in or around the temple. Now we find that the believers were regularly going to worship in the temple, even though, as we read in the previous chapter, that the most important things that they did, their teaching and their fellowship, their breaking of bread or prayer, was done outside of the temple walls. It happened in other places. In fact, it happened in people's homes. But the demonstration of the power of Jesus, it took place not in the temple, but outside of the gate of the temple. Interesting, isn't it? God is on the move. He's not confined within the institution. He's not held back by these four walls that we have here. He is breaking out into new worlds. He's leaving behind the shrine, which had become a place of worldly power, and it was resistant to his purposes. My prayer is that our institution, our faith family, maintains its organic way about itself, and that it doesn't become solid in the sense that it's stayed and unwilling to change. What God is working through Luke is, he's telling us now that God, the good news of Jesus, though beginning in Jerusalem, it needs to now reach outside to anyone, and in fact everyone who is asking for the good news and who is in need, right? And so for us, Luke is also beckoning to us, go and do likewise. Move in to your communities. Move out from these four walls and go into the communities. Go into your families. Go into the places of work, into school, and connect. And so for us, Luke is also beckoning to us to go and do likewise. So let me close with this thought, brothers and sisters, before we move into breaking of the bread. Let us extend good news to others through the way we say things and the way we do things with others. Let us extend grace. Let us actively share dignity with others, looking them in the eyes as we speak to them, as we recognize them. Even if we don't have the money to give to that panhandler, let us look them in the eye and let them know that they've been recognized. Let's recognize God's handiwork in everyone that we meet. If we find that we are the ones experiencing the gracious healing, let us, like the lame man, give all the glory to God. Let us get up and jump and give praise to God. Let us go all the way in, into a life reflecting the goodness of the one who loves and cares for us. And let us be filled with wonder and amazement at what God actively does in our lives. Thanks be to God. So as the worship team comes forward and joins me on stage, I want to invite Karen and the communion servers to come forward. I'm going to invite us to pray as Karen prepares to lead us in communion. Lord God, we thank you so much for your gracious healing power, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. You are the one who gives good gifts, and you love us so dearly and so deeply. We thank you for that. And so, God, as a reflection of our thanks, we want to give back to you actions seasoned with grace and love and kindness. Give us joy, Lord, in our step as we come, as we leave from here. And give us a reason to share what you have given to us with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.